Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Right, just want to take a few minutes. I've been going through the first two or three chapters of Mark for the last few weeks, and God's just talking to me about a number of different things from here. So just, if you want to just grab your Bible, turn to chapter 1. Just want to read three different stories, and it's all to do with people's homes, okay? Be it Jesus being in the house. And then Chad didn't know what I was going to share for a few minutes this morning. Then he gets that in the prayer meeting. First one here, verse 29. As soon as Mark chapter 1, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many and had of various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So just three stories about Jesus being in three homes, okay? And this first one, he goes to the house of he goes to the house of Simon and Andrew. There's a group of them. They go in there. They're going to obviously hang out. They're going to spend some time there. He finds out that somebody who's already in the house is not well, and he goes and sees them healed, and then normal life is restored to that home. And then they can, the mother-in-law gets up straight away, begins to prepare food, and they begin to eat together and share together. And one of the things that I believe God wants to do in the autumn, he's going to, as well as this place becoming more of an oasis, and the play centre going in there in September next month, in our daily life as families, as households, as friends, that God's going to increase his presence in our homes. And part of this cultivating a habitation is so that we're cultivating a place where Jesus is going to just be walking into our homes in a fresh way. Remember Leviticus 26, in some of those verses, God said, I'm going to dwell with you and among you. But he also said, I'm going to walk among you. And it's like God's just reminding us, encouraging us, I'm going to be walking into your homes in a fresh way. I want to walk amongst your lives in a fresh way. There's going to be a greater release of my presence, a greater release of the power of God in our homes. And when we go into each other's homes, if we hear, hey, somebody's not well, right, come on then, we need to pray for them and see them healed, okay? So people aren't, but there's going to be a greater release of power in our homes as we come into the autumn. And as a result of that, I believe we're going to start seeing people begin to gather in our homes. We don't just want to think the church is a place to gather, but actually our homes are a place where people can gather. The whole town came to the door. Now, I'm not saying that the whole of Horsham or wherever you're from is suddenly going to gather at your door one day, you know. But when God is at work, word gets around. When something's happening, people speak of how good God is and what he's doing. Word gets around and people then want to come and find out. They're attracted. Are they not? So, you know, when Jesus was around, people were attracted. When the religious people were around, people were not attracted. So there's going to be an attraction about our lives and our homes because Jesus is there doing something fresh in our families, in our marriages, in our households, in our friendships, in the life groups. And we'll look at this a bit more in September. But, you know, God wants to do a little bit of a mind shift, a mindset change to do with life groups and all of that. So removing the life group tag as a I'm going to, you know, but actually that we need to see we're living life together. We're doing life together. There's something God is doing amongst us, relationship on a friendship level, that we don't see it as a thing we go to, but actually it's body life, but in a smaller context than just a big thing. You know, if we're going to grow big, then we've also got to grow small. And the small is really a key and is absolutely essential to the bigger you grow and the bigger you get. Because we don't want to become, you know, detached from each other. But actually the small, the relationships, the connecting with each other in our homes is going to be really key in the next few months and years. Next story, which we looked at Faith Camp. Jesus goes back into Capernaum. Same place in the previous story. And he's already in a home preaching. The place is full of people inside and outside. And the four friends who are picking up on a bed their friend who's a cripple who can't get to this gathering himself. So these friends pick him up, take him to the house, and they lower him. Put a hole in the roof, lower him into the home, and he encounters Jesus. Jesus is already there, and they take him in, and he encounters Jesus. But the first thing Jesus said is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Your home is going to become a place of salvation. Your home is going to become a place of salvation. Do you believe that? Nudge somebody else, I believe that. Your home is going to become a place of salvation. Your home is going to become a place of salvation. People are going to bring their friends to your house, to my house, to our houses, our homes, as well as here with all the different things going on. But they're going to come to our homes and they're going to say, if I can bring my friend to so-and-so's home, to the life group, or wherever we meet, or whatever we're doing, or somebody's house, I know they're going to meet with Jesus and they're going to get saved. But also the guy got healed as well. Jesus said, "Stand up and walk." And the guy picked his mat up and walked out. And so also people are going to come to your home to get saved and healed. So we want our homes to be a place that we're cultivating the presence of God, so when people come in, they get saved and healed. So God's mobilizing us as a body. He's mobilizing all of us together. There's lots more we could bring out of this. But the third story is Jesus was walking beside the lake, and a crowd was gathered around him, and he began to teach them. As he was walking along, he called Levi, or Matthew, who's sitting in his tax collector's booth, and he said, "Follow me." And so Matthew got up straight away and followed him. Then it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked him, "Why does he eat with these people?" That upset them, the religious people. On hearing this, Jesus said, I love this, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners," people that don't know me, okay? And so we're going to begin to, I believe, if you're open with this, if you've got your back door open, not the official front door, you need to knock and get permission, but how many of you want the back door of your house, your home, your life to be open? Because it's a welcoming place. It's a place of people, "Oh, we can just pop round." Their back door's always open. They don't mind. They're open. They're ready. We can nip in there for a cup of tea. We can just pop round. All of that kind of thing, that opening up our homes in a fresh way. Now, that might challenge us, some of us, a little bit. But yet, Jesus did a lot in people's homes. And it says that loads of people were gathered around. So one of, for Jane and I, you know, we reach out to people that don't know the Lord and everything. But I know for me, with God speaking to me about this, it's like, Clive, your house needs to become more of a place where people can just pop round, come round. They know they're welcome anytime and everything. So we're cultivating this, want to cultivate this more, okay? But not just filled with our friends that know Jesus. And that's because Jesus was at this guy's house. Matthew had just beginning to follow him, but Matthew had loads of mates. And I believe God's going to help us to become, if I can use this phrase, comfortable being in an environment where you're outnumbered. Whether it's in your home or somebody else's home, and actually that we're not living on the back foot, but actually living on the front foot, because there were more unsaved people in this house than saved. But I love Jesus' response. "I haven't come for the healthy." Now, pretty much most of us in this room are probably healthy in terms of spiritually with God, because we got Jesus in our lives. And Jesus is saying here, I haven't come just to hang out with all the healthy all the time. and just to spend all my time in a place where I feel comfortable. I don't feel under, you know. I've come also for the people that are sick, the people that need to become healthy. And so our homes are going to be a real key part of what God wants to do as we move forward. And the building as an oasis is going to become important, as more important, but also our homes, because that's where we're going to do life with people. That's where you're going to end up chatting and praying with people. That's where you can hang out with people. That's where you can disciple people. They can see your life being outworked. People come into your home, my home, and they sense an atmosphere, an environment. Hopefully it's a good one, and a place they want to be. It's an example. It's like, man, I want a family like this. I want a marriage like that. And how do you help your kids to behave like that? And you just see, it's so peaceful here. When I'm here, I don't want to go home. You know, have you had that said to you before? We want to cultivate that, do we not? Let's stand up, shall we? That's it. That's your message for this morning. And right, you ready?
Yes.
Just close your eyes a minute and just be ready. I believe God wants to heal people this morning. But I first of all, just want you to be really honest with the Lord. Rather than just praying something that you think sounds right this morning, I want you to be really honest. Do you want the back door of your life, your house, as it were, your home, to be open? Do you want it to be open? Because what Chad shared was that Jesus didn't have to knock to come in. It didn't sound like in any of those stories he had to knock to come into those houses. He went into them. There was no waiting to come in. They were open. They were ready. They were available. People hosted him. They create an environment of hospitality and hosting. So we want to create an environment of hosting Jesus, hospitality, this habitation we've been talking about. We just talk to the Lord for a moment. Say, God, if you're really open for this, God, in the autumn, as we come into the autumn time, I want my home to become a place of health, a place of salvation, a place of healing, a place where people can come and receive from you, a place where lives can be built up and strengthened. In the same way, our corporate house together, this building, if you like, where we're going to have all sorts of things happening, also in that, as that is a place of refuge and an oasis, I want my home to be a place of oasis as well, where people can come and be fed both naturally and spiritually. People can find drink both naturally and spiritually. They can drink of you. So if you're up for that, just raise your hands now and before the Lord and say, Father, I want to open up the back door of my life, of my home, and I invite you to come in. I'm not going to leave a key out because I'm going to leave the door open and unlocked all the time, as it were, for you to come in and to be in and to presence yourself in my home. Father, I thank you for those that are going to come that don't know you. I thank you for those that are going to come that need healing. I thank you for those that come and they need an answer. They need some hope. Father, I thank you for those who come. They just need a place of safety, an environment where they don't have to try and be who they think they should be, but they can just splurge it all out and let it all out because they need somebody that they can pour their heart out to that's going to listen and not judge them, but actually say, it's great to hear your heart. Now I know somebody who can give you a totally new one and give you a totally new life or whatever. Father, I thank you as we cultivate our homes, as we love one another, as we invite one another in, as we open up our homes even more than we have before. I thank you that the whole dynamic of life groups is going to be changing, transformed and increasing over these next few months as we just see our life together in a different way. So, Father, we praise your name and we honor your name this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning for your healing power and your healing grace in people's bodies this morning. Somebody here, you've had a stomach ulcer for a little while and you've been in pain with certain foods and everything. And already there is like a fire going on in your stomach down here. This area, and God's just healing you and getting rid of that stomach ulcer now as you're standing there. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that person's body right now. I thank you that's an end to that issue in the stomach. Father, I thank you just for your healing power and your healing grace this morning, touching people's bodies in this room today. I thank you for everything you did last week, but you say your mercies are new this morning. Your mercies are new today. So we just draw on your mercy and your grace and your goodness this morning and your healing power in people's bodies. If you know you need something to happen in your physical body, just raise one of your hands now. And just reach out as if you're grabbing what belongs to you. It's like God's holding out. This is it. I've already got your healing right here. It's in you because I'm in you. But you're just reaching out and say, Father, I'm just reaching out to take hold of what you have already given me. And I just take hold of my healing right now. Yes. I take hold of my health right now. And I thank you, Jesus, that the symptoms in my body leave right now. Yes. That every ache leaves, every pain leaves, every dis-ease leaves, every diagnosis of sickness goes right now. Every thing that doesn't line up with the truth of your word that says you are healed, I command to leave my body right now. And I just take hold of my health and my healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just round the room. Just receive your healing. Just thank him. Just thank him for what he's doing. Father, I thank you for my healing right now. I take hold of what you've given to me and I appropriate that in my body. I thank you that you've given me a healthy, vibrant body. Father, I thank you. Somebody here, you've just been under a real weight of oppression in different ways, and God's just lifting that off you right now. There's two or three people like that. If that's you, raise both hands in the air for a moment. We just command all that oppression to be lifted off your life right now. Father, I thank you for freedom from oppression and even depression right now. And I thank you that you depressurize those people's lives right now and that you lift off that weight and that heaviness. And instead, it comes with the lightness of your spirit that picks people up and lifts people right now out of despair and a sense of hopelessness. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome, mighty, wonderful name. Come on, let's thank him. You guys are somebody else, you've injured your ankle in some way, doing something, a sport or an activity, and although it was a kind of sprain and something happened where you haven't quite got the full flexibility and movement, and you're sometimes a bit reticent to really, put weight on it and do everything. Well, God's healing you this morning, so there's no restriction of movement, activity, sports, you're with your kids and all of that, but God's healing you right now. So we just command all of that. We command the bone. It's a bone thing. Command that bone to be healed right now in Jesus' name. That ankle to have full movement, full flexibility right now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, you've done something to your shin. You had an injury years ago and you had shin splints and other things that had to be worked on to do with your shins, and you get a lot of shooting pain up and down your shins, particularly the left leg, and God's healing you right now. It's like what I can see is like there's a laser of heat that God is just going up and down your shin right now, and he's just sorting that issue out. So Father, I thank you. This is an end at this moment to those shin pains that have been very painful for one of you in here. So you're free from that from now on in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else in here, there's one or two muscles on your body that haven't developed in the right way. It's like they're not quite the shape or the size. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And I believe God's just doing a real miracle in your muscles, those two muscles in your body now, so that you can actually have the strength that you need, the flexibility that you need. It's like a couple of muscles haven't developed properly. And if that's you, I just want you to raise both your hands in the air for a minute, wherever you are. That's it. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that man's body right now. I thank you that you supernaturally develop those muscles so there is full movement, no restriction in any way from this moment onwards, so that this man can have the full use of his body in the way that it needs to be. So, Father, I thank you and I praise your awesome, mighty, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody else here this morning. We're going to get into loads more of this. People getting healed in your homes on a Sunday, whatever we're doing. You know, we want to see just the momentum of the power of God at work in lives. Amen. And there's somebody else here, and you, with the whole dyslexic thing, and you've seen a measure of healing, okay? But because you saw you were really encouraged at first, and it feels like it's halted, and you're like, man, I want to see the rest of it. Well, this morning, God is saying, here's the rest of it this morning. So, Father, I thank you that you deal with that dyslexia right now. I command all the electrical connections, whatever's going on in the brain that is not quite there, I command those things to come right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the ability to read and write, to spell things in the right way, punctuate things in the right way. I thank you that you give them a reading ability well beyond their years and whatever they've known before. Father, I thank you for your healing power right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's probably other things God's doing as well this morning. How many of you know God is doing something in your body? Just raise one of your hands. There's a number of people here. It's brilliant. Other people is great. Father, we thank you. There's about 20, 25 people putting their hands up. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now. Now, everybody, raise your hands now, everybody. The Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Just look at me, everybody. You are anointed to heal the sick. You have the same authority as anybody else available. What you want to do, the Bible says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we want to make sure that we stay submitted to the one who is the authority, so that when you go as a believer and you lay hands on the sick or you command sickness to go, it has to flee. It has to go. It's got no other option. So just raise your hands for a minute. Father, I thank you for every person with their hands raised. Doesn't matter what age they are. Child, young person, adult. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you right now for the spirit of faith to come upon every person afresh today. The gift of faith being released afresh today to lay hands on the sick so they recover. Just want to encourage you, you are not limited by your experience. It's the truth that tells us how to live. And the truth says believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Father, I thank you that there are miracles waiting to happen this week through our lives as we reach out, see people, whatever's going to go on. And Father, I thank you for fresh anointing for our homes. Father, I thank you as we cultivate your habitation in our homes, it's going to be a fresh release of anointing and grace for people to come into our homes that don't know you and they come to know you. People that are sick being made well. People being healed physically, emotionally, and mentally. So, Father, I thank you for that release. That this August is not just going to be a time of peddling water and treading water, but it's a time to increase, a time to advance, a time to go forward, a time to see things happen, things grow, things advance. So I praise your awesome, mighty, wonderful name. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.